Good afternoon, and welcome everybody to the Parsha class for Acharei Mos Kedoshim in the year 5766. We have a double Parsha, as we had last week. This week we have the Parsha of Acharei Mos, which contains the very long and elaborate service that the high priest would perform on Yom Kippur every year in the temple. Nowadays, we just chant a poem which describes all of the elaborate service, and we are, of course, left with the power of prayer, which is quite powerful. We also have in Acharei Mos kind of a famous, or some people call infamous, section of the Torah which enumerates the forbidden relationships of marriage and of sexuality. It's infamous because some people would maybe prefer if it didn't say in here all the things that it does. But it does. And then we go on to the Parsha of Kedoshim, very well known because of that one verse that everyone quotes, the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself, that has its home right here in Kedoshim. It also repeats the forbidden relationships, this time enumerating the actual consequence of those behaviors. The first parsha stating what the forbidden relationships are, the second parsha stating the consequences. Kedoshim, of course, also well known because it has the verse at the beginning, you shall be holy, and many people would use that adjective, holy, to describe the essence of a Jew. Several years ago we had a class just to saying, what does Kedoshim mean? What does it mean to be holy? And we proceeded to surmise that what it means is what you get when you fulfill the commandments written herein. And that was the theme of our Parsha class. So there are all kinds of commandments. I believe that perhaps this Parsha is the single highest number of individual commandments in any Parsha of the Torah. Kedoshim, maybe over 50. Out of the 613, and it's replete with commandments that deal with the man and God relationship, and also many dealing with the man and man relationship. But it has those famous verses, if you look on page 660, that culminates in love your neighbor as yourself. There's a series of psukim which seem to really, it's like a good place to start. You shall not commit a perversion of justice. You shall not favor the poor. You shall not honor the great. With righteousness shall you judge your fellow. Righteousness shall you judge your fellow is the source of the dictum, give your neighbor the benefit of the doubt. That has its source right here. You shall not be a gossip monger among your people. That's one of the sources for the prohibition against lashon hara, evil tongue. You shall not stand aside while your fellow's blood is shed. I am Hashem. You must not turn away when your fellow brother is in danger. That indicates that we have mutual responsibility for one another. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, prohibiting even a harboring of a bad feeling against another Jew. You shall reprove your fellow. Do not bear a sin because of him. That's taken to mean that if, in fact, you do have something, if you do have a gripe, you may not keep it inside. You must go to the person and you must talk about it with him. That's what that means. You shall reprove your fellow. Do not bear a sin because of him. You shouldn't be committing a sin by harboring the hatred. You shall not take revenge. You shall not bear a grudge against the members of your people. That means taking revenge would be tit for tat. You didn't do the favor for me, so I'm not going to do the favor for you. Bearing a grudge would be, okay, I'll do you the favor. I'm not like you, who didn't do me the favor. That's doing it, but with a grudge. Both of those, the Torah says, are prohibited by Jewish law. Jewish law governs how we talk to people, how we feel. You shall love your fellow as yourself. That's a law too. That's a commandment. I am Hashem. As Hashem is a judge, and he knows what's in our hearts. And therefore, it's not a question of I'm not hurting anybody. I can feel the way I want to feel because it's only for me to know. And the Torah says, it's not just for you to know. I am Hashem. Hashem is the judge of all of our actions. So Kedoshim is packed. It's a shame almost that there's two parshas because they're both really so full. This year, as you might know, you may have heard me repeat, I am attempting, with your help and with Hashem's help, to really integrate so many of the teachings that we have studied together from the Torah and that I have had the privilege and the responsibility of learning from my forebears, and the responsibility being to make sure I understand them to the best of my ability and try to pass them on. And so I have several times this year come to a point in preparing for the class that there's something quite central and something like a realization that, oh my goodness, you know what the Torah is telling us here? Something like that, maybe even mind-altering experience. I had such an experience in preparing for this class. Let me just review some of the background. I have also, in the last year or more, been very, very much influenced by the encyclopedia. What's the name of the book? What's the name of the encyclopedia, anyone?
Derech Hashem,
The Way of God, a volume by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the 17th century. I think it's the encyclopedia because it, through maybe a mystical lens, the lens of the Kabbalah, that's what I've been told, gives an integrated picture of the life of Torah. And I will summarize that very briefly this time. But the Torah is telling us, the clear and single most message of the Torah is teaching us how to involve ourselves with the ultimate purpose of God's creation of the world and of mankind, which is for some segment of humanity, which has been selected by choice, not by choice of God, but by choice of that segment of man. That means, as Rabbi Weinberg, my Rebbe Zatzal, used to say, he used to quote, "How odd of God to choose the Jews. Not so odd the Jews chose God." He used to say that. So, a segment of mankind, which was by choice of that segment, that is, Abraham and his descendants, was purpose being to draw himself and themselves near to God through the process of choice between good and bad, and to do this in general by observing the Torah, especially to emulate God's ways by acting with his attributes, primarily attributes of mercy and goodness and kindness, and in general to keep the commandments of the Torah. This is the message of the Torah. The message of the Torah is our job is to draw close to God by observing this. That's the message of the Torah. That's not so novel. I mean, that's pretty clear. It's not just a philosophy, it is a way of life. It is a goal in life, shall we say. So, the purpose of the Torah is to draw close to God. Now, primarily in the books of Reishis and Shemos, we had the introduction to this purpose. In other words, we first had to find out who God was. We first had to find out who in mankind was actually going to accept this challenge and this mission. So we had to meet the players. We had to meet Abraham and his family and see how they became a nation of such people. Autobiographical. We're reading about ourselves. We had to find out how God then forged a relationship with his people through the Exodus from Egypt, and how he actually gave them this Torah so that they could fulfill their mission in the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, and how he created a home for him to dwell so that they could have the right atmosphere with which to fulfill this mission. That's basically the books Bereishis and Shemos. Now we get into the Leviticus, Vayikra. We start like the action. We start carrying out the mission. We've got our workspace, we've got our environment, we've got our mission statement, and now we have to get to work. And so at the beginning of Vayikra, we learned the sacrifices. Our first reaction is always, how strange, how odd, what does this have to do with being Jewish, and it's so barbaric, etc., etc. And we said, our message back in Vayikra was, the Parsha of Vayikra was, although it seems strange to us, and we don't know how this makes us close to God, we could try to study, we could try to speculate, but we do understand that that is our purpose, to be close to God. Our job is to grow close to God. So if the book opens up with a saying, here's something called a karban, and karban means an implement for closeness, then of course that's what we want. How does it work? I have no idea. But that's our job. So the book of Vayikra then is about how to do our job. Now, last week we recalled Parshat Shemini, which we had skipped. Yes, please.
So drawing close to God is an end in itself, you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a means to an end.
Well, yes and no. In this world, it's an end in itself. If you bring into the equation the concept of the world to come, that is a place where we experience the closeness to God that we achieved in this world. And see, in this world, we don't necessarily experience that closeness. We take the steps towards achieving the closeness. We can sense it, but it's not fully there.
I ask that because other rabbis, I think, have said that our purpose on the earth is to perfect humanity. And the way to accomplish that, to achieve that goal, is by drawing close to God.
Okay. I would say just the opposite. And I would think that if you would read the encyclopedia, I think you would agree. In other words, our goal in creation is to draw close to God. One of the ways that we do that is perfect humanity. Okay, that's not the only way. I actually have a little bit of an issue with that philosophy of perfect humanity because it is very arrogant.
To improve humanity.
No, it's very arrogant because the supposition is that we ourselves are okay. I would say that the primary way that we draw close to God is by improving ourselves. If we all improve ourselves, humanity will be a much better place. But the idea of let's jump and improve humanity presupposes that I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see that can't be the case. The encyclopedia states that man was created with a force of good and evil within him. And after the forbidden fruit was ingested, the force of evil became stronger. And therefore, we are not okay. I mean, we're lovely people, and I love myself, and I love each and every one of you, but we have our work cut out for us. So to say that we're fine, let's just go improve all the bad things in humanity, is missing a major, major link in the Jewish purpose. But thank you for that comment, because it brings out an important focus. So Vayikra, we should stand up, sit up, and take a look. What exactly are we supposed to be doing here? So last week was Tazria Metzora, but we hadn't met during Shemini. And so I shared with you an observation that I had, which became the theme of that class. In Shemini, there were two great men who wanted to be close to God. And so they decided to bring a korban, an offering. And it was an offering of incense. These two people were the sons of Aaron, the high priest, Nadav and Avihu. This is back in Parshas Shemini. And they died instantly. And the sages, in their oral tradition of the Torah, which is vital to understand this, and their insight, shared with us that there was a flaw in their korban, And one of the explanations is that they were intoxicated when they entered the Holy of Holies. Another interpretation is that they brought a korban that was not commanded, not to go through the whole thing. What we concluded from this was that God was teaching a lesson to the Jewish people that if you want to come close to God, that's not the way to do it. You don't approach Him with religious fervor and say, I want to show my expression of love for God, and this is what I'm going to do. That's playing with fire. In fact, the Parsha goes on to say in the entirety of Shemini and the entirety of Tezriya Metzora that the proper way to observe commandments and to serve God is by following specific, very detailed, and very highly prescriptive procedures, which can be hair-splitting at times, such as the Metzora, such as the leprosy, whatever you'll call it, between, we saw the Mishnah, even between different shades of white. In fact, it's so highly specialized that only an expert, Kohen, can make even the determination. And so our conclusion was that the Torah is telling us the only way we can serve God and approach God is only by submitting ourselves to a very highly detailed prescription of laws and rules and regulations. And it's not something which can come from a free-thinking, free-spirited expression. There may be room for that as well, especially in the midst of prayer. But in general, to say that we become attached to God because we let our feelings out and we do what we feel, that's not the Torah. I'm sorry to say, that's idol worship. You decide, it's your expression of how you feel. I think that that lesson is explicit in the first pasuk of Achrei Mos. Read it. Okay, so I'm reading a little bit into it. But listen. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Achrei Mos shnei b'nei Aaron. After the death of Aaron's two sons. Bekarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. When they approached before Hashem and they died. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe. Daber el Aharon ochisa. Speak now to your brother Aaron. V'al yovo b'chol eith el hakodesh mi beis laparoch. He shall not come at all times into the sanctuary within the curtain, in front of the cover that is upon the ark, so that he should not die. Tell him, don't do what they did. Don't do what your sons did by coming into the Holy of Holies without instruction, without invitation, without following the prescribed procedure. For in a cloud will I appear upon the ark cover. My presence is right there. Rather, bizos yavo Aharon el hakodesh. With this shall Aaron come into the sanctuary. Befar ben bokar lechatos v'ayaliola. With a young bull for a sin offering. And a ram for an elevation offering. And then you can read till verse 34 how he must come into the sanctuary. So how does the Torah say we should come close to God? Take a bull, take a ram, wear 8 garments, do it at this time, not at that time, immerse in the mikveh first, wash the hands, wash the feet, mix the blood.
So is that the Kohen?
Yes, it is the Kohen. But to me, what this is saying is, if you want to come close to God, bezos. This is the way it has to be done. Otherwise, you get what happened to Aaron's sons. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody who doesn't follow the prescription is going to die on the spot, because Aaron's two sons were, this was on the first day that the tabernacle was inaugurated, they were on the highest level, and therefore they are held to a higher standard. But the message is that there is a specific way to come close to God. Let me continue. Remember that in general our goal in life is to make choices and to sift out between very, very subtle and indiscernible traces of good and evil. We don't really know how to do that. In fact, for most of the time, we are unaware that there is even a force of evil. And if there is, it's certainly not within us. But the encyclopedia says, and Jewish tradition says, that it is within us. Just as if a person had a highly rare disease, he would not know how to cure himself of it. He would have to go to a doctor, hopefully who would have the knowledge and how to treat it, but he would have no earthly idea how to get rid of that disease. Let's just multiply that manifold to the condition of humanity which God created with that mix of good and evil for the purpose of giving us the right to choose. We don't know how to get rid of it. We don't know how to make the proper choices. We have to ask the doctor, and he can tell us. Well, this is the medical journal. Achrei Mos, therefore, establishes for us that in approaching God, we have to follow prescriptions. I believe that at the end of the Achrei Mos, and in the entire book of Kedoshim, the message is to carry that over, not only in the realm of man to God, but in the realm of man to man. Let's say I want to perfect humanity. Let's say I want to devote my life to peace, honesty, all the good qualities. How do I do it? What's considered honest? What's considered peaceful? What's considered justice? When am I allowed to do something to advance my own needs for commercial success? When am I stepping on my competitor's toes and doing something which is forbidden? All of these questions are impossible to navigate. And if we try to navigate them, we are just groping in the dark. And for the most part, since we are filled with more evil than good, we're going to make the choice which suits our own needs. But whatever you say, whether you agree with that premise or you don't agree with that premise, the Torah is saying we've got prescriptions even for the way we treat man to man. And if you want to be kedoshim, if you want to be holy, you have to... Yeah, I'm giving you some prescriptions on that also. How you treat your parents, how you give charity, how you deal honestly, what kind of weights and measures. Now, this is Chumash. If we were to open up a volume of Mishnah, of Gemara, of Talmud, of any of the presentations of Jewish law, we would find that each of these commandments has pages upon pages of detail, of fine print. If you want to know a question about Lashon Hara, you have to learn the book on Lashon Hara. Just for as an example, we mentioned before that you shouldn't, it says, don't take revenge. Now, this happens to be another encyclopedia written by the same author, but it's an encyclopedia of ethics. The Path of the Just, also Rabbi Lutato. It is the encyclopedia of ethics known in the world of Torah study today. Universally accepted. This is chapter 11. Hatred and vengeance are also very difficult to escape, since one's heart is very easily enticed by them. A person is very sensitive to his humiliation and feels extreme anguish. Under these conditions, vengeance becomes as sweet as honey, since it is his only respite. Therefore, if he finds the strength to flee the urgings of his nature and to override his own feelings so as not to hate the one who has evoked the hatred within him, and he neither takes revenge when the opportunity arises, nor bears a grudge, but instead he disregards all this and removes it from his heart as if it had never existed, there goes a strong and courageous individual. This is something which is easy only for the ministering angels, among whom the aforementioned traits do not exist, for not for dwellers of the physical world who were formed from the earth. Nonetheless, it is the king's decree, and the verses are clearly spelled out and need no elucidation. You must not hate your brother in your heart. You must not take revenge, nor harbor a grudge against the members of your people. I ask you, would we be able to do this on our own if we didn't have a Torah? He goes on. Concerning vengeance and bearing a grudge, we know that vengeance means refraining from acting kindly towards someone who has denied him kindness or who has actually harmed him. Bearing a grudge means that while repaying a harmful deed with a good deed, one reminds the other party of the harm that he committed. So, I'll help you, but don't forget that you didn't help me when I asked you. The evil inclination continuously inflames the heart, constantly seeks to keep alive at least some trace or recollection of what has happened. If it is not successful in leaving a strong impression, then it will attempt to leave a weak one. For example, it may say to someone, if you want to give this person, in other words, the evil inclination, the bad conscience will say to the individual, if you want to give this person what he wouldn't give you when you were in need, at least don't give it graciously, don't give it with a smile. Or, if you don't want to harm him, at least don't be so kind to him. Don't help him in a major way. Or, even if you want to be of great assistance to him, at least don't do it in his presence. Or, don't become his friend again. Or, if you have forgiven him, it is enough that you don't show him enmity. But if you also want to be his friend, don't show him as much warmth as you formerly did. Okay, this scholarly book, which isn't even the Talmud, is delving into the human psyche to such an extent that it has just outlined about 7 or 8 different levels of human thinking towards the attitude of revenge and of grudge bearing. How could we do that on our own? Especially when we are inclined towards the grudge bearing. The Torah says, don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't speak gossip. How easy is it to fulfill that commandment? Why is it that it is so difficult to even know such questions? But the answer is, and this is really the point that I'm getting to, there is no way without studying the laws prescribed by the Torah in all of its detail through the lens of the oral tradition, and following a course of study whereby you really understand what it's all about and what we're supposed to do, and that there's no room for wishy-washiness, and that there's no room for subjectivity. You've got to take the medicine. There's no other way to get better. There's no other way to get close to God without studying the Torah. Now, I know what everyone's thinking, because I'm thinking the same thing. So basically, you've just made being a good Jew impossible. How in the world am I going to master all of the commandments with all of the details and be able to know what to do? I won't be able to get up in the morning because I won't know how to talk to my friend because I didn't learn the huge volume on Lashon Hara, or I didn't learn the 3-volume treatise on how to conduct business with honesty. It's impossible. I used to think that being a good Jew just means having a good heart, giving some charity, going to shul on Shabbos. Now you're telling me that I can't really approach God just because I feel close to Him. I've got to somehow become a world-class scholar, and I have to learn volumes upon volumes. I don't even think I have enough time in my life to turn the pages. I think that's a very real concern. And it bothers me greatly. And so I have no other choice but to rely on what it says in Ethics of the Fathers, Pirkei Avos. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. It is not your job to finish the task. V'iyata ben chorin libatel mimena. But you're not free to desist from it. In other words, bottom line, we're here on a gift from God. Life is a gift. And not only is life a gift, but life has a purpose. And that purpose is to come close to God. And the only way we can come close to God is by studying the Torah and finding out how exactly He prescribes that we should deal with various situations. We can't do it all. It's impossible. But that is the only procedure, that's the only process that really accomplishes the task. And therefore, I believe, and this is my conclusion, this is the life-altering conclusion of this, is that if we want to be a Jew who lives for the purpose of which we were created, we need to find some time, find some space within us where we feel the need to study the Torah with the object of learning a particular law. And here's where individuality can come in. There's no particular order. You can pick whatever law or whatever commandment you want. You have my permission. You can pick. But approach God in the right way. Say, there's a commandment. I realize that the commandments are the way that we approach you, and I realize I can only perform the commandment if I really know how to do it. I'm going to start with X. Sit down, get a book that describes how you do X. Try to learn it to the best of your ability. Ask questions when you're not sure. Know it like you know the back of your hand, and then start to implement it. If you are doing that, if you're engaged in that process, and by the way, in case you have a weak moment and you don't feel the motivation to do that, it's because we have forgotten maybe some of the fundamentals laid down in Bereishis and Shemos. Maybe we're not really bought into this whole thing about what does it mean to be a Jew anyway. So we have to go back and then read Bereishis from time to time, or Shemos, or maybe read a book like the Encyclopedia, the Derech Hashem, or other such writings which inspire the heart to want to live a Jewish life. But then we have to, there's only one real approach to God, and that is to study the Torah, study the laws with its ramifications till we know what to do and implement it. If you're doing that, you are as great as any Torah scholar who knows it all, because you can only do one thing at a time. And if you're doing that, and if you are engaged in that process, you are coming close to God. That's my claim. I think that that is a message that somehow, we do have to talk about faith, and we do have to talk about all of the background information, but we have to, I think, be clear to ourselves and to each other that there's a right way to do it. There is an actual prescription how to come close to God. That's what we're here for. And it involves study, and it involves precision. Let's say it's Lashon Hara. There's wonderful books about Lashon Hara. I'm going to look up the answer to that question. And I'm going to, next time I'm in that situation, I'm going to know what to do. You are so close to God, you have no idea if you do that. And even if you're not doing it on all the other commandments, if you are engaged in this process of learning Torah in order to fulfill it, you are extremely beloved and dear to God. Is it reasonable? No. Okay. Okay. Discussion, please.
If you just say as your first declaration, I am not going to keep Shabbos. Not going to keep Shabbos, period. But I'm going to go ahead and do the things that you said to do. One thing, I'm going to really pursue that. I'm going to study that. Are you drawing close to God?
Yes, absolutely. And I believe that if you study that law and you begin to fulfill it, and you really know it, I mean, you know what to do, and you're convinced of the fact that there's a right way to do it, and you believe with a full heart that this is how you come close to God, I believe that if you will do that, you will find yourself heading towards your next mitzvah before you realize it. And if not, that means you're still holding back on your acceptance of that mission, which is fine also. You know, I don't think you can read Vayikra until you've read Bereishis and Shemos. I don't think you can, an adult, and maybe a child can, if you tell the child, do this, 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 he'll do it. And maybe some adults too. But if you're talking to a thinking person who thinks that there's other important goals in life, and you try to say, oh, sorry, this is the important goal, this is the most important goal, I don't think he would just accept it at face value. Why would he? He's got to learn it for himself. So that's also drawing close to God. He's basically making his way, figuratively speaking, through Bereishis and Shemos. So if he's involved in a course of doing that, but he understands, if he gets to that point, he's got to motivate himself. Eventually, there's a path to follow. There are instructions, there are prescriptions. If you want to get close to God, this is the way you got to do it. Otherwise, you're just going to be thinking that you're close to God. You might not be, in fact. You might be doing what Nadav and Avihu did. You might be thinking that this is a way to get close to God. It's not. Yes?
How does one disabuse a person who holds a grudge against you?
If someone holds a
grudge... Which, of course, by definition, is hurt, and you want to cure that, and you have a prescription here for how to go about it, but it's likely that that person is not going to listen to that because they're all involved in the circular thinking.
Right, right. He's caught up in the human tendency. So you have two options. You can decide that it doesn't bother you and go on with your life. But that's only if it really doesn't bother you. If it does bother you, then you are treading on the verse that says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. And you are required not to stay at that point, but to reprove him. Reproving would mean you would approach him in the easiest scenario, you would approach him and you would say, I feel that you have a grudge against me for something that I did to you. I'd like to talk to you about it. I'd like to apologize or justify what I did. If you do it right, you may just soften him up. You may not. You may have a hard time actually doing that. It's one of the hardest mitzvahs there is. You may seek the assistance of someone else that the person respects, and maybe they could intercede. Maybe you shouldn't start with that one. Start with something easy like tying the right shoe before the left. I don't know. I'm a left-handed person. I think I tied the right before the left.
That's cool.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.